Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Nun, and we're going to begin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, the seventh wide line. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Elazar continues discussing Amaratzim. Emolei Anu Tzricha Lehem L'Masva Matan. If not for the fact that we need to do business with them, the Amaratzim need the non-Amaratzim to help them do commerce, they would kill us out of their hatred. Tanya of Chia, call Isaac with Torah of Namarit. Whoever learns Torah in front of an Amarit, as if he had relations with his engaged wife. Shnema Torah Tzivalana Moshe, my Russia. Atakri, my Russia, El Marasa. The relationship between a Talmud Chacham and Torah is similar to the relationship between a husband and a wife, and just like a husband and wife would not have relations in front of someone, so too this is like having relations in front of someone who doesn't belong there. Greater is the hatred of Ami Oritz Talmud Chacham, Yosem Sinish Asayna of the Chacham Mes Yisrael, more than Goyim hate us. And the Mefarshim explain, because the sinner of an Amoritz to a Talmud Chacham is a sinner's chinim. A guy hates a Jew because a Jew has Torah and he can't have Torah. But Amoritz could have Torah and he chose not to have Torah. That's why his sinner is greater than the sinner of a guy, the Nishisayim. And the wives Amoratzim, Yosef Mahen, even hate us more than the Amoratzim do. So Mefarshim explain a few pshatim. One pshat is that Amoritz, to be a non-Amoritz, would have to sit and learn. And he's not prepared to spend the time and effort to learn. His wife could have easily married a non-Amoritz, just like she married Amoritz. And now she's stuck with this Amoritz that doesn't know how to learn, and she sees the other people who can learn, and she can't deal with that. Another pshat I saw from the Chidah is that Talmidei Chachamim treat their wives nicer than the way Amoratzim treat their wives. So the jealousy that she has when she sees how her friends who are married to Talmidei Chachamim are treated so well makes her jealous of the Talmidei Chachamim. Tana, and we learned in the Braisa, Shonu Pirish, someone who once learned and then stopped learning, Yoisim Kulm is the worst. Why? Simply because if he left Torah, that means he has a hatred to Torah. But the Chasam Sofer explains, the Gemara says, Kol HaGodl Mechaveiro Yitzrei Godl Mechaveiro. Whoever is greater has a bigger Yetzahara. So this person once learned Torah. When he learned Torah, he developed a big Yetzahara. But he doesn't have the Torah anymore to fight it. So he has a very big Yetzahara and no way to fight it. Another pshat is, it's a sinas chinam, because he could have easily learned. He learned already, and he chose not to, so we now have a sinas chinam. And that's why it's the worst. Another pshat that I saw is that a Talmud Amoritz maybe doesn't learn, but at least he'll give tzedakah. So the schus of giving tzedakah makes him have a good feeling towards Talmidei Chachamim. Somebody who's a Shana Pirish is obviously not giving tzedakah, so he doesn't have the schus of tzedakah to protect him. But I saw another vart that has nothing to do with this Gemara, but it's an important vart. You know, a lot of times people, they learn a few lines of Gemara, and they already think that they know whole Shas, and they could say big Divrei Torah. Shana, if somebody just learns a few lines of Gemara, Upirish, and then he starts saying Mefarshim, he's the worst. First learn, know something, and then you could start saying Divrei Torah. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabban, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Amaretz. There were six things said about Amaretz. Ein Moisom Edus, we should not appoint them to say testimony. Ve'im Kamu Menu Edus, and we don't accept testimony from them. So Miri asks, if we don't give them testimony, we obviously won't accept testimony from them. So what's pshat? So Miri explains, Ein Moisom Edus is that generally a Bezdin is three people. So let's say we'll take two Talmidei Chachamim for a Bezdin, and we'll say the third person could be an Amoritz because the majority is Talmidei Chachamim. So says the Braisa, Ein Moisom Edus, don't make him part of the Bezdin, no matter who else is on the Beis Din. And now another din is regarding testimony. Don't tell them secrets. Rashi says, because we're concerned that they're going to reveal those secrets. Don't appoint them to be an administrator over the estate of orphans. Don't appoint them to be the administrator over tzedakah. So the Mefarshim explain, they are going to take liberties. They're going to say, since we're doing this job and we're volunteering, we have a right to nash, or take something from the fund, which obviously isn't appropriate. But it says in Shulchan Aruch that if somebody specifically appoints an apotropos administrator, even though he's an Am Aretz, then we should, if he was appointed by the father, then he could be used. We shouldn't go with them on the road, as we explained yesterday. We're concerned that they may not care enough about their travel companion. We should not announce we find something that they lost, that we found it. Normally, we know the Gemara Masechta Bava Tzia discusses Hashavas Aveda. If you find something that was lost, you should make an announcement. And that's not relevant by an Am Aretz. So Taisva says, asks, when you find something in the street, how do you know it was lost by an Am Aretz? You have no way of knowing. So Taisva says, the Gemara is discussing a situation where you saw a group of Am Aretzim walking, and something fell. So you don't know which Am Aretz lost it, but it, you know, it was lost by an Am Aretz, or it's from a neighborhood that was found where Am Aretzim live. But Tosfos and all the Rishonim point out that even though we don't have to announce an Aveda that was found, we certainly have to treat them with respect, and we're not allowed to steal from them. The Tanakama that says that we do announce their Aveda, because Zivna the Nafik Minei Zara Ma'alya, sometimes even though they're not that great, they may have fine children, for Achale, and the child will be able to benefit from the Am Aretz's estate. Shnema Yochin, the Am Aretz prepares, the Tzaddik Yilbash, and the Tzaddik wears, and will have benefit from what the Am Aretz prepared. And in fact, I saw a truth from Yitzchak Zilberstein. Somebody won a lottery, $100,000. And he had four children. Three of the children were the way it's supposed to be, and one had, wasn't acting as it's supposed to be. And he wanted to go take this lottery and divide it amongst his children. And he asked the Shaila, should he give the child who isn't acting appropriately a share based on this Gemara? So he was told, you have to evaluate every situation. If by doing this you will further that child, certainly don't do it. On the contrary, if you think by doing it your child will become closer and may be influenced positively, then you should do it. The Shaila Shuvas Ritva has an interesting Shaila. Here it says that we don't accept testimony from Am Aretz. So Ritva discusses this, Rishon discusses where there was a butcher who was under supervision or was from, and there were people who weren't religious that were saying that they knew that he was acting inappropriately. He was doing the wrong things with the meat that he was selling, wasn't kosher or wasn't the standard that he was saying that it was. And the question was, could we accept their testimony? Because based on this Gemara, we don't accept the testimony of somebody who's an Am Aretz who isn't himself scrupulous. So Ritva says, you can't just assume that the Gemara here says that we don't accept their testimony under any circumstance. We have to review the situation. And if the situation is one in which we see that what they're saying is true, and we have reason to believe what they're saying is true, even though they're Am Aretz, we should accept what they say. So we learned in the Mishnah of Chem Yishiyotza. So the Mishnah discussed somebody who left Yerushalayim with the Kodesh meat that came disqualified, that he has to return to Yerushalayim to burn it. And the end of the Mishnah discussed, for how much do you have to return? So Ramei said you have to return both by Chametz and by Kachem for Kabeya. Rabbi Yehuda said both by Kachem and Chametz Kazayis. And the Chametz said by Kodesh and Kazayis and by Chametz and Kabeya. Ask the Gemara. Lememer the Ramei is of a Kabeya who the Chashev. It seems the Ramei, based on our Mishnah, holds that a Bey is a significant amount. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Kazayis Tami Chashev, that even a Kazayis is significant. Ask the Gemara of Reminu, does Gemara Masechta Brachos, at Kamahe Mezamnin, how much do you do Zimun for? And as the Gemara explains, they were not only speaking about doing Zimun, we're talking about benching. How much do you have to eat from Mechuyiv and Berkas Hamazon? At Kazayis, so the Tanakhama, which is Ramei, says a Kazayis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer at Kebaya. Just the opposite of what they say here. Answers the Gemara. Amrav Yochanan Mechlefes Hashita. You have to reverse what they say in Masechta Brachos. In Masechta Brachos, Rabbi Yehuda will be saying Akazayas, Aramea will be saying Kebaya. Abaya Meloilam Loiteba. Don't reverse it. Hasan Bekroy Pligi. There they're arguing how to understand Pesukim. And Hacha Besvar Pligi. And here they're arguing regarding Gesvaro. Hasan Bekroy Pligi. They're arguing how to define the following Pasuk. Ramea Sava, Vachalta, the Pasuk that speaks about the Chiyuv of Birch Samazan, Zuachila. The Savata, Zushtiya. It talks about drinking. Vachila, how much do you have to eat? Always, we know Achila means a Kazayas. So, what is the Savata? So, Taisus, before we get into what the Savata Zushtiya means, Taisus says, obviously, that the entire discussion here is only Midrabonan. Midai Raisa, a person only has to say Birch Samazan if he's Savata, if he's satiated. It has nothing to do with how much he ate. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says in a tshuva, let's say somebody ate even less than the kazayas, but he's full, he doesn't eat a lot, and he's full with a kazayas, then he would have to bench midaraisa, as the Savata. Here we're talking about midarabon. So Rame is saying, eat, you have to eat a kazayas. The Savata Zushti, there are a number of shotim. One pshat is that there's a chiva brocha achroina for sviya, for shtiya. If you drink a certain enough, you have to make a bracha achroin. Others say that the Savata, the story of Beis Yosef explains it, is that you're not mechuyev to bench midaraisa unless you drank also. That means, let's say somebody ate, but he didn't drink, he's not mechuyev to bench midaraisa. So therefore, according to this, let's say you have three people that ate together, and some of them ate and drank, and some of them only ate. The one that should lead the benching should be the one that ate and drank, because he's mechuyev in benching midaraisa, and the other ones are not mechuyev midaraisa. Another pshat is, this the Chazon Ish learns like this: v'chalta zush achila, v'savata zush tia. That let's say you're hungry, you ate, and you're still thirsty, your chiyev to bench is not a chiyev deraisa. So he says a very bechidish. Let's say somebody will just eat and he's thirsty and he benches, and after he benches, he now takes a drink. He may have to bench again, because the first Birch Samazan was only a drabona, but now he has a chiv deraisa, so he has to bench again. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, v'chalt v'savata, achila shiyesh b'ksviya, you have to eat it much to be satiated, and v'ezzu b'kabeya, less than the kabeya, you're not satiated. That's regarding Birch Samazan. However, hocha b'svara pligi, they're arguing in a svara. You have to go back to Yerushalayim for the same amount as we become Tamei. How much food becomes Tamei Kabeya? And we explained already at the beginning of this parak of Machlokes, according to Rashi, food contracts Tuma at any amount, but it can't give off Tuma unless it's Kabeya. According to Tosfos, it can't even contract Tuma when it's less than Kabeya. Av Chazarasa is only the Kabeya. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Chazarasa Kisura. We don't use Tuma as the model, we use Isser as a model. How much is the Osir? Ma is Sura b'Kazayis, Av Chazarasa Kazayis. Tanya, that is another Shita which we didn't learn in our Mishnah. Rabbi Nosnaim is Zev Zev Kishtei Beim. You only have to go back to Yerushalayim if you're carrying two Beim worth of Kachim. However, V'loyhoidel Chacham Decham did not agree to that Shita. There's a Pasuk in Zechariah. So we don't know what Yikras V'kifon means. What that means will be when Mashiach comes. My Yikras V'kifon. Amar Belozer, Za'or. It refers to light. Shiyokav Olam Hazeh. In this world, it's scarce. The Kofil Olam Haba, but will become prevalent in the next world. Because as we know, the Posh Pshat in the Gemara is that it says in Rashi in the beginning of Parashat Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sun and put it away, and it's only going to be taken out the full power of the sun when Mashiach comes. That's what the pasuk is referring to. Others say it's referring to learning. Learning is difficult sometimes in this world. The kafan will be a lot easier in the next world. Rav Yochanan Elon the Goyim v'na Olois. It's referring to the Masechtas and the Goyim v'na Olois. Shikarim hein v'olam hazeh, they're very difficult to understand in this world. The kfuin hein l'olam haba, but they will be easier to understand l'olam haba. And the Yaivitz makes a very interesting observation. The Goyim and Olois are mesechtes that won't be relevant when Mashiach comes. Allah says, talks about tumah, nobody's going to die. The Gaon talks about people having a nega, people won't have negam. So he says, even though they won't be relevant la'aloch la'maisa, they're still Torah, and we're going to have to learn the whole Torah when Mashiach comes too. These are people who are respected very much in this world, the Kfuin Hein Lo'olam Haba, but in the real world we'll see that they're not that respected. He got ill and he fainted and he was on the other side. When he came back, what did you see on the other side? I saw the upside down world. People who in this world are on the top are there on the bottom. People in this world on the bottom are there on the top. He told them, Bni, my son, that's the right world. So he asked, where do we stand? So he answered, just like we're in this world, we're the same in next world. So the Mabit and Ramosh explained the Gemara. What was his question? He knew he's sat and learned. What was his question? So the Mabit explains, this world is a very results-oriented world. How do we measure who somebody is? How much we see he accomplished? But it could be that the person who we see accomplished a lot didn't get close to reaching his potential. And yet, another person who maybe doesn't seem accomplished that much, he reached his potential. So he says, in this world, we look at the people based on what they accomplished. In the next world, we look at the people based on what they, if they reach their potential. Cheskel Abramsky says, on the same vein, in this world, we measure people by what they accomplished. In the next world, we're going to measure people by how much effort they put in, how many hours they sat and learned. V'shmati shayo emrim, they said, Asher misha bolakan, great is the person that came here, v'tamod b'yodai, with his learning in his hand. So there's a lot of kshatim at Talmud b'yodai. One pshat is, Talmud b'yodai, is that he did what he learned. He was mekayim the mitzvahs. Another pshat is that he learned Torah by pen. He learned Torah by heart, because the advantage of learning Torah by heart is no matter where you are, you could always think about learning. Another pshat, the Talmud B'yadoi, the Mashal says, is that he wrote Divrei Torah. The Talmud B'yadoi, we see if he wrote Divrei Torah, because that helps you learn better and understand better. The Kafka says, the Talmud B'yadoi, is that the person was mechadish Divrei Torah. Let's see what Talmudai, what was he mechadish. Another pshat is, the Talmudai biyadai, is that let's see what how the learning affected his life. Did the Talmudai have an effect on Yadai? Did the Talmudai affect the way he lived? Another pshat that I saw is, usually a person dies, he's an older person. Older people, you would think, they're not going to go listen to a shir. They say, the Magid Shir is younger than me, he's not as smart as me. So they say, Asher Misha Bolakan, somebody comes to this world when he was already lived in the world and he was an older person, but Talmud Abiyada, he was still a Talmud. He was still willing to learn and listen from a Magid Shir and not say, who am I that's going to go to a shir? And another pshat, will end with this pshat, is like this. There are two ways how to learn, or how to get involved with learning. One is to learn yourself. Another way is that you don't learn yourself, but you support people that learn. Asher misha bolakan v'talmudai v'yodai, that he learned himself, and he didn't just rely on supporting people that learned. V'shemati shayayimrim, harugei malchus ein adam yam l'amid b'chitzosim. The people who killed Mesiris Nefesh, nobody could stand near them in the Olam Hemes. Or manin, who are they? Elaim Rabbi Kiva Chaverov, Bekiva and Ard Surah Heruge Malchus, who we speak about in the Musav on Yom Kippur, in the Kinnis on Tisha B'Av, ask the Gemara Mishum Heruge Malchus, is their great stature because they were killed at Kiddush Hashem, the Suloi, nothing more, they were the greatest Tanon. Elai Heruge Lud. It refers to the Heruge Lud, the Gemara Masech the Taim speaks about, there was once a libel against the Jews that they killed the king's daughter. And the king demanded that whoever did it should come forth. And these two brothers even though they weren't the ones that actually did it, volunteered to save Klal Yisrael. Rav Moshe actually, interestingly, in a tshuva says that you're only allowed to do this when all of Klal Yisrael's fate is at stake. But let's say to go be willing to give up your life to save somebody else, that's not acceptable. And the pasuk continues in Zechariah. B'yom ahu yam tzilas asus kodesh Hashem. It'll be on the horse's ornaments, kodesh Hashem. My mitzilas asus. What does this mean? Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Osa Hakadosh Baruch Hu lahoitzva Yushlaim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu's enlarged Yushlaim. Achasus rutsa matzel. How much of a distance? The amount of distance that a horse rides from the beginning of the day until when the shade is directly under the animal, which is midday. That amount, Yerushalayim will be enlarged. Ask the Chasam Sofer, what's the point of enlarging Yerushalayim? We know the Gemara says, Ma'olam le'odam or sali amokam. A person never said that Yerushalayim is too small. So what do we need to enlarge Yerushalayim? So he says there's an inyan. There's an issue that Yerushalayim should be bigger. It's a kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu if the capital of Klal Yisrael is a big, beautiful city. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Elazar Amar, Kol Metzilas Shetayin L'Sus Be'enof, all the ornaments that they put on the horse's head, Yerkadosh L'Shem will be donated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Beis HaMikdash. Yochanan Amar, Kol Bizeh Shebozen Yisrael, Atcha Sus Rotz Matzel, all of the bounty that Klal Yisrael gets when they will go to war for the first half of the day, Yerkadosh L'Shem they'll donate to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Mandam Kol Bizeh Shebozeh Yisrael, that all of that will be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Hanidiksev, that's what the pasuk says, V'ahoya Asiras V'Beis HaShem, the pots that will then be used in the Beis HaMikdash, V'yikmezrekim L'fnei Mizbech, will be like the pans, they'll be made out of silver and gold, there'll be such an abundance. Elamandam behanach tarti, according to other man the Amrim, my vahoya serious base Hashem. What does it have to do, how the pots will be made out of, with Yerushalayim being enlarged? Says the Gemara Milsa Achriti Kamer. The pasuk saying a different thing. The Misakri Yisrael, Klal Yisrael will become very wealthy, or Misnadvi, and they will donate, or Maisi, and they'll bring things to the base of Mikdash. Says the Gemara Bishlam Mandam Biza. According to Mandom, it says that there will be a lot of bounty. There will be no need, as we'll see in a moment, Knani means for the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash to do any business, because they'll have enough of their own resources not to have to do business. According to Mandom, it says Yerushalayim will be enlarged. And even according to Mandom, that they're going to donate the horses and ornamentations, what does that mean? That doesn't mean they're still not going to need to do business. There will no longer be poverty. There'll be enough. And the Yalkut Gashuni explains, poverty is something that's relevant in this world. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests us. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us grow in Avodas Hashem. In Olam Haba, where we will be on the highest Madrega, there will be no need for that test. My Kanani. So what is that Kanani? The Kanani Minolon, I'm sorry, Dikri Tagar. How do we know that Kanani means a merchant? The Ksiv, it says the story between Yehuda and Tamar. The Yasham Yehuda Bas Ish Kanani. Yehuda saw the daughter of a Kanani. My Kanani. Elam Kanani Mamish, that he came from Kanan, can't be, says the Gemara. Ef Shabbat Avram, but his is Yitzchak. Avram told Yitzchak, I don't want you to marry a girl from Kanani. Boy Yitzchak v'hizis Yaakov, Yitzchak told Yaakov, I don't want you to marry a girl from Canaan. V'Yehuda ozav anosav, Yehuda's going to go marry such a girl. Amar Reb Shimbel Lakish, Bas Gavra Tagra. She's a girl, she was the daughter of a businessman. T'ksiv Canaan b'yodei mazni mirma. Canaan has dishonest weights. V'beisa mahocha, asha sachrea sarim, Canaanea nachbri arts. The business people are called Canaan. The pasuk says, "V'ha'ya in Zechariah, v'ha'ya Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz, v'yayma hu yah Hashem achad ishma achad." Ask the Gemara, "Ote idna lav echad hu? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not one in this world? Do we need to wait for Olam Haba?" Amar Achbar Chanina, "Loik Olam Hazeh Olam Haba." In this world is not like the next world. Olam Hazeh, Absurus Toivus Omer Baruch HaToiv HaMeitiv. A good news, you say HaToiv HaMeitiv, and the halacha is that when something good happens that doesn't only affect you but affects a group of people, you say HaToiv HaMeitiv. If it only affects you, you make a Shechiyanu. And if it affects a lot of people, even if you're not in that group, the halacha is you could still say HaToiv HaMeitiv. But Psuras Ra is on bad news, you say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. La'olam Haba, Kula HaToiv HaMeitiv. We're only going to say HaToiv HaMeitiv. Ask the Tzlach, of course we're only going to say HaToiv HaMeitiv. There's not going to be any bad news. So the Tzlach says, the Pshat is, in this world, we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes when we get bad news. In the Olam Haba, we'll see that everything that we thought in this world was bad news really wasn't that bad. It was good. It was for our good. We didn't recognize it in this world. La'olam Haba, you're going to say Kulay, and everything that happened in this world that we thought was bad, we realize HaToiv HaMeitiv, that was really for our good. Ask the Gemara, Ushmay Achad, May Achad, what does that mean? Oto Edna, Lav Shmay Achadahu, isn't his name one? Arav Nachman Ben Yoitzchak, Loi Koyom Hazeh, Oyom Haba. Hoyom Hazeh, we know, Nichtav, the Shem Hashem is written Yudkei Vovkei, the Nikra, but it's pronounced Aleph Dalet, Adnus. Av Loyom Haba, Kulei Echad. Nikra Be Yudkei, it's going to be called Yudkei, the Nichtav Be Yudkei, and it's pronounced Yudkei. And the Masha and the Gra explain that Yudkei Vovkei represents Midas Harachamim. Adnus represents Midas Hadin. In this world, there's a combination of Midas Hadin and Midas Harachmin. Olam Haba will only be Midas Harachmin. Sovra Rava L'Midrash B'Pirka. Rava wanted to explain in a drasha how to pronounce the Yudkei Vovkei. Omalei Ha'u Sabal Olam Ksiv. When we look at the way the Torah speaks about the Shem Hashem, it says Zeshmi La'olam, forever. But it doesn't say the word Olam would evolve. It says La'alam, which means hidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that the pronunciation of my name in this world should be kept hidden. Rav Ravina Rami, Ksiv Zeshmi La'olam, forever, V'zeh Zikr L'dar V'dar. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loik Shenichtav Ani Nikro. My name is not pronounced the way it's written. Nichtav Ani B'Yudkei, V'Nikr Ani V'Alef Talet. It's written Yudkei Vavkei, but it's pronounced Admos. And the Brisk Rav says a beautiful word. He said, the Pasuk says, Zeh Shmi La'olam, Zeh Zichri L'dar V'dar. He says, what's the difference between L'dar V'dar and La'olam? L'dar V'dar means for generations, but it's going to come to an end. La'olam means forever. Zeh Zichri, the way I'm pronounced, Adnos, is only L'dar V'dar. It's only till for generations, until Olam Haba. Zeh Shmi, Yudkei Vavkei, La'olam, will remain forever. Hanun L'chei La'ivrin, Hanun L'chei La'ivrin, Hanun L'chei La'ivrin. Says the Mishnah, Makom Shenag Lasis Malach Be'erev Pesachim Ad Chetzos, in a place where people do work on Erev Pesach until Chetzos Oisim. Makom Shenag Shloi Lasos, in a place where the work is not done, Ein Oisim. So as Tosfos explains, quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that after Chetzos on Erev Pesach is a Yontif. Why is it a Yontif? Because they used to bring the Karban Pesach. So he says that every time a person brought a carbon, it was a yontif, the whole day. But since the carbon pesach could only be brought after chatzais, the yontif begins only by chatzais. In fact, Tosfos asks, every day should be a yontif by Klal Yisrael, because every day the carbon tamid was brought, and all of Klal Yisrael contributed to the carbon pesach. So Tosfos says that there's a pasuk in the Torah that says that even though they bring Karban Tamid, they're allowed to work. And Tosfos says, even though now we don't have a Karban Pesach anymore, that yontif remains. So some places that are minig, that since after Chatzos and Erev Pesach is certainly a yontif, and that's the halacha. The halacha is if somebody's sitting shiva, he gets up by Chatzos, Erev Pesach, Rachman Otzlan. That is certainly a yontif. There's some places that had a minig that even before Chatzos, they also didn't do work. Rashi seemingly has a different approach. Rashi says that since Erev Pesach after Chatzos is so busy, so many things to do, beer chametz, taking matzahs, bringing the Karban Pesach, so certainly you're not allowed to do work. And then it was expanded in certain places from the morning. What's the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos? When Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, So what's going to be the status of Friday? According to Tosfos, Friday there's no Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach was brought on Shabbos, so you can work. According to Rashi, because you're so busy with so many other things, you can't. You're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to work even on Friday. Now, there's an interesting question. According to Rashi, that the reason Erev Pesach is a yontif because you're so busy. So what about Erev Sukkos? Erev Sukkos, you're also busy. You have a dalam minim. You have a sukkah. So the Tosfos yontif says that Erev Sukkos, nobody waits for a sukkah until Erev Yontif. Nobody waits until Dal Minim to Erev Yontif. So you're not that busy. But Bedikas Chametz and baking matzahs and Korban Pesach could only be done Erev Pesach. Pnei Yeshua says that Erev Pesach you're busy with a lot of little things. And that's how you can get, you can forget. But Sukkos, it's a big thing. Building a sukkah, everybody realizes, and people will not get confused. However, the Tzlach has an entirely different approach to Rashi. The Tzlach says that Rashi agrees with Tosfos that the reason after Chatzos you're not allowed to work is because of Yontif, of bringing the carbon. Just Rashi says that since after Chatzos is a Yontif because of the carbon, that's why in the morning you have to get everything else done, and that's why in some places they had a minig not to work. Says the Mishnah, somebody goes from a place, goes to a place that people work, goes from a place where people work, lemakom shein oisim, but now he's in a place where people don't work, or he goes from a place that they don't to a place where they do. We give him the chumrah and he's not allowed to work under either circumstance. Now Tosfos, the Tosfos quotes the Gemara Masechet Chulin, that the Gemara Masechet Chulin says that this is obviously only relevant if it's only relevant if he's not going to move there. But once he goes to move there, it's a whole different thing. Vayishana Adam Ibnei Machlaikas. A person should never make a machlaikas. He should be the same like everybody else in the place that he lives. Kiyotzba. Hamoylech perish shvius. The halacha is during Shemitah, we're not allowed to work on the field. But there's another halacha. Kol lechaya min hasada. Once no fruit, produce is available in the field, then people can't eat that at home. Machlokes Rambam and Tosfos. According to the Rambam, you have to completely destroy the fruit at that time. According to Tosfos, it doesn't have to be destroyed, but you have to call it hefker, and then you can reclaim ownership. So now the person is leaving Makom Shekalu, in a place where the produce is no longer available, but Makom Shelo Kalu, to a place where it's still available. And Oy, we Makom Shelo Kalu, he goes from a place where it's no longer available, but Makom Shekalu, to a place where it is still available. The halach is Chayv Levar, we always give him the chumris that he has to dispose of the produce. Yudam et Seva Avelucha Afata, we'll explain what Yehuda means in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Mayiri Avi Psochim. Why are we specifically talking about Erev Pesach? Afilo Erev Shabbosus v'Erev Yom Tov Nami. So the way Rashi explains, the halacha is that every Erev Pesach, every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, after Chatzos you're not allowed to do melacha. From our Mishnah, it seems to mean that only on Erev Pesach. Answers the Gemara, as we see, how you know you're not allowed to do malach on every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. The Tanya, oysa malach of Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Somebody does malach on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Min mincha l'mala. So the way the Mashal explains, there's two minchas. There's mincha gedoyla, which is 6.5 hours into the day, and there's mincha ketana, which is 9.5 hours into the day. He was saying that if you do malacha after 6.5 hours into the day, ein roya simen bracha. There won't be any hanav from that work. And like the Mishnah Berurah explains, even if you'll do business and you'll see that you're being successful, you may make money in this deal, but you'll lose it in another deal. The Mishnah Berurah also says that this is the halacha. The reason we have this halacha is one of two reasons, either because of Kavod Shabbos, Kavod Yontif, that once Shabbos and Yontif are approaching, stop to work, or again, we're concerned that if he's working, he's going to get occupied, and he'll chas v'shalom be mechal Shabbos for Yontif. Mr. Brewer says if somebody has a job that job requires him to be there past the mincha, then he's allowed to remain there, but otherwise he should not work. Only things that are required l'kavod Shabbos. So why isn't that? So now we have a question. It seems that only Erev Pesach. What about the other times? Answers the Gemara. Hasam by Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov, it's mina mincha l'malat, 6,500 to the day. Who da asur? Samuch mincha before that, loy. Hachab, however, here mechatzais. It begins by chatzais. Inami hasam simen brachu d'lechazi. He isn't successful. Ashmuti la mishamtinalei. We don't put him to cheirim for doing this work. Hachas shmuti na mishamtinalei. Here he's put into cheirim if he works on Erev Pesach after chatzais. Gufa. Ha'is malach ba'erev Shabbos ba'erev Yom Tovim. So he does malach on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. Min a mincha l'malo, as we're explaining, after 6.5 hours. Or b'matzah Shabbos of matzah Yontif. Or b'matzah Yom Kippurim. Anytime where there's a concern that you're doing avera by doing work, what does that mean? It means either Tisha B'av or the taniyos that are declared because of a famine or a drought. He will not have simon brachah from that work. So Tosis explains what does matzah Shabbos matzah yontov mean? That you're not allowed to do work until the tzibur finishes davening. You know, even though it's already the zman, it's already the time for Matzah Shabbos, people should not do malacha until when the zman, until when the tefillah b'tzibur of Ma'ariv is ended. The Brisk Rav explains that you're not allowed to, and that's how he explains Peshat and the Rambam, that you're not allowed to do malacha until after Havdalah. Again, even though it's already the zman, you shouldn't do anything until you say at least Baruch Hamavda Ben Kodesh L'chol, or you say Atochan Otanu and Shmoneh Esrei. But the closing of the Rebbe has a tshuva. They says there's a minig by a lot of people that women don't do malacha on Matzoi Shabbos until midnight. Why? He says that if a person immediately after Shabbos does malacha, it shows that either it shows that Shabbos was for him difficult, he can't wait for Shabbos to end to get back to his work, or it shows we're supposed to feel as Shabbos arrives, kil kol malachtecha asuya, as if everything we need was done. If immediately after Shabbos you go do work, you're showing that you don't feel kilu kol malachtecha asuya, everything that you need was done, and that's why there's a minig. I know a lot of people, women have minig that they don't sew matzoi Shabbos. This is the basis for that minig. Tarabon, yeish zarz v'nisker. Sometimes somebody works hard and he sees benefit from it. The yeish zarz v'nisker. Sometimes working hard and you won't see benefit. Yeish sofel v'nisker. Sometimes being lazy and you see benefit. The yesh shuffle v'nifsad, sometimes you're lazy and you lose. Zar v'niska, what does that mean? David kula shapsa, he works all week. V'layavad b'mal shapsa, so he's a hard-working person, but in Erev Shabbos, as we just learned, he doesn't work. Zar v'nifsad, who's that? David kula shapsa, the whole week he works. V'avad b'mal shapsa, and he also works in Erev Shabbos after chatzos, that we just finished saying, ein rois simen bracha. Shuffle v'niska, the loy avid kula shabbos, he doesn't work the whole week. The loy avid b'mal shabbos, he doesn't work on Erev Shabbos either. Shuffle the nifsid, somebody's lazy and he also loses out. The loy avid kula shabbos, the whole week he doesn't work. For avid b'mal shabbos, on Erev Shabbos he begins to work. Ami rava, hani nosh de mechuza, these women from mechuza, afagav the loy avdin avidit b'mal shabbos, they don't work on Erev Shabbos. Mevshum mefnuksuhu, it's because they can't work. They never work. They're called people who benefit from that, from being lazy. So Chassam Sofer asks, what's Rava adding here? So he answers like this. If a person is lazy because he could work but he's just lazy, so I could understand he'll get reward for not working Erev Shabbos. But let's say you have a person like these women, they can't work, they're unable to work. So I would think that they shouldn't get schar for not working Erev Shabbos. They didn't work because they can't. Tells us the Gemara, they still will get schar. Rava Rami. Rava asked the question. There's one pasuk in Talmud that says, Kigod Achmaim Chazdecha. Until the heavens is your chesed. V'ksiv Kigod Mi Al Shmaim Chazdecha. Above the heaven. How is it? Ha-Ketzad. Kan Ba'osim L'Shma. If they do it L'Shem Shemayim, then it's even greater. Person isn't subject to the teva, like the Mefarshim explained, he has a siyata d'shmaya and everything he does. Kan oisim b'shloy l'shma, then he's subject to teva. Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, la'olam yasek adam b'tayr of mitzvahs, ap b'shloy l'shma. A person should act shloy l'shma. So b'tayr shloy l'shma, if he acts shloy l'shma, ba l'shma, he'll come to l'shma. ask Tosfos. The Gemara Masechta Bracha says, "Kol ois b'tayr shloi l'shma, loyach loy shloi nivra." If somebody does tayr a mitzvah shloi l'shma, it would have been better if he would have never been created. And here he says that it should act shloi l'shma. So Tosfos says the Gemara Brachas is referring to a person that is doing lakanter. It's not just shloi l'shma; he's doing it to start up with other people, to tease other people. He shouldn't learn tayr. He shouldn't do mitzvahs. There's a vart from the Tzvila Tzaddik. He says the gematria of the word al, ayin lamed, is 100. The gematria of ad is 74. What's the difference between 74 and 100? 26, which is the gematria of yud kei vav kei. The difference between being above al and ad is if you do it l'shem shemayim, l'shem yud kei vav kei. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Nefesh HaChaim explains, why should a person learn Shalai L'Shma? He says it's impossible that a person will spend his days learning and he won't at least learn one moment of a little time L'Shma. And that little time of L'Shma will have a profound effect on the rest of the time. The Gra, and actually the Baal Shem, say a very interesting vart. He says, you know, it's very hard to get a person sometimes to learn. You have to get up early in the morning to learn. You have to find time to learn. And a person, there are always excuses not to learn. So how do you get him to learn? So he says, the way you get him to learn is you tell him it's Shalai L'Shma. You get him up, people should say, you know, he learns with Daf Yomi every day. He's a very chashva person. And once, Mishalai L'Shma, you get him to the Beis Medrash, Baal L'Shma, then I learn L'Shma. And they say a mashal. He says, a person who walks on a tightrope in the circus. So why does he do it? Because that's his profession. That's how he earns a living. But when he's on the tightrope, he doesn't think about the money. He thinks that he shouldn't fall off. The same thing. Maybe the person comes into the Beis Medrash with a Shalai L'Shma Kavona. But once he's in the Beis Medrash, he'll come to L'Shma. But the Egli Tal says in the Agdama, that doesn't mean that a person isn't allowed, supposed to enjoy his learning. He's supposed to enjoy his learning. Enjoying what that you learn, having geshmak in Torah, is not called shloi l'shma. On the contrary, that's called limud haTorah. We say every morning b'harevna. We want the divrei Torah to be sweet and enjoyable. One final vart, they say like this: mitar shloi l'shma ba l'shma. Sometimes somebody's in the Beis Medrash and he's taka learning shloi l'shma, but there's somebody else in the Beis Medrash who sees him learning. And he's influenced by that person's learning. And he, the person who's influenced, learns l'shma. So matar shalai l'shma, you learn shalai l'shma, but ba, you made somebody else learn l'shma. Tan rabbanan, hamitzapa l'shchar ishtoi v'richayim, if somebody is expecting his wife's parnasa, his wife's work, because she grinds by the millstone, ain't a roi shchar brachal oilam. He will not any sorry simon brachal oilam. He won't see any brach from this. Schar ishtam is kalta, or he wants to expect from his wife that she's going to sell the weights or richaya, or she's going to sell the grinding stone agarta. That richaya agarta that she wants to work by the millstone, that will not be good. She will not see a simon bracha. Aval avdam is dabna. But if she works and does business, ishtabuchim ishtabachpa, that's wonderful. The pasuk praises her. The ksiv sodden asks of a timkar, the wife does business, and that's how why she's praised. The way the mefarshim explain this is like this: a person's bracha, a person's blessing, is based on how he treats his wife. So if his wife has to work at a demeaning job, then there's no bracha. But on the contrary, even if his wife has to work, but he makes sure that she's treated with respect, and he makes sure that she has a job that is respectful, that's a sudden us of a timkar, and there's a gevaldige simen bracha.